Greetings, friends. Welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, November 23rd, the year of our Lord, 2025. And this is our celebration of Christ the King. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast. I pray that you are well, and I pray that as we come to the end of the liturgical year with this feast of Christ the King and approach the season of Advent, the beginning of the next year, the new year, I pray that our time together will be inspiring, that it will encourage you to focus on what is first and best, your relationship with God, coming to a sure and certain knowledge that God meets you right where you are in this very moment. And one of the ways that we can begin to focus more fully on that gift of God with us is to focus on the gift of life by taking in the breath of life. And so let's do just that. Let's take a deep breath in and hold on to that breath. Don't just hold it, but savor it. God is in that breath. Life is in that breath. Then let it go. Take in another. And as you breathe, and as you become more aware of God in each breath, call to mind those things, the people, the places, the situations, and the opportunities that fill you up inside, that bring you to life. Imagine the faces of those you love. Imagine the places you go that fill you with awe and wonder, peace and quiet. Perhaps hold your arms out wide. Turn your face toward the sky. And in this posture, in this state of mind, let's begin together in worship.
Call to worship. Come, people of God, strengthened with the power that comes from the Father. We give thanks with joy, for God has made us heirs of the kingdom of light. Christ has rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us into his kingdom of redemption and forgiveness. We worship the Son in whom the fullness of God dwells. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In him all things were created, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church, the firstborn from the dead. In Christ all things are reconciled, on earth and in heaven. Come, let us worship Christ our King, the one who reigns in glory, who brings peace through the blood of his cross. Today's scripture reading comes from Colossians 1, verses 11 through 20. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, so that you may have all endurance and patience joyfully, giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross.
Take a moment to pray. Gracious and merciful God, we come together in this moment and we give thanks for the gift of this, your good and living word. And we ask your presence here among us, that you'd be beside us, abide with us, that you'd open our minds, calm us, bring us to a place of stillness. Save us, O God, from misinterpretation and distraction, so that we could truly hear what it is you are saying to us through this good word. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, friends, here we are at the end of the liturgical year, this wonderful feast of Christ the King Sunday, a day where we reflect back on the previous weeks in this season that began all the way back last year at the beginning of Advent, which is coming up next week for us at the beginning of the next of the cycle of these days of the liturgical calendar. And we made a procession from Advent to Christmas through Epiphany into the season of Lent and on to Easter, to the Ascension, to the day of Pentecost, through the days that we call ordinary, to this moment where we consider what does it mean for us to call Christ King, that Jesus is the Lord of all. We're familiar with the stories. And I think as human beings, we so fully resonate with Jesus the healer, and Jesus the profound teacher, the wise and brilliant rabbi, who could hold an audience captive for hours. And then as the sun was going down and stomachs were beginning to rumble, he'd feed them. The Jesus who attends a wedding party where the wine runs out. But in his presence, the wine never runs out. The grace overflows. We know the stories. If we've been around church for a while, been around the scriptures for a while, but for how many of us, and I'm preaching to myself, for how many of us can we say that Christ is King of our lives. Author Dallas Willard, whom I quote maybe too much, but he's just been a real mentor of mine lately. He talks about the kingdom of God is the range of God's effective will, where what God wants done, wills to be done, is done. That's the range of the kingdom of heaven. And for Paul, this reign, this Christ, this range of God's will permeates everything. Everything that we can see, hear, touch, and taste in this good world is of Christ. That, like we read at the beginning of John's Gospel, that in the beginning was this Word, and this Word was God, this Word was with God. And through this good Word, through this Christ, all things, every single thing, comes into being. Paul writes to this Colossian church. He is imprisoned. Most likely, that's where we believe this letter was written, during his imprisonment in Ephesus. He'd never met this church. I don't recall that he'd ever been to this church. But he'd heard about the qualities of this church and the beauty of this church. But he also knows that, like so many other places in this Greco-Roman world, a lot of different teachings and philosophies had become popular. And people were engaged with them, and some to the point where they had begun to drift away from the teachings of the faith. And so at the beginning of this letter, we have what is often referred to as a hymn to Christ, this beautiful song, where Paul pours out his soul in an effort to encourage people in the possibility and in the beauty and in the life-changing grace and peace that is present when we give up our earthly kingdoms, when we hold with open hands the range of our effective will. And we hold it up in front of God and we say, you take this. I've been trying to manage it for a certain number of years. And for some of us, that's many decades. And every time I try to clench my fists and hold tight and pull it into myself and say, I'll do it, thank you very much, we miss out. You know, sometimes our results might be pretty good. It doesn't mean everything falls to a disaster, but it's always less. The satisfaction isn't quite as sweet. The relationships aren't as full as they might otherwise be. Because who is this one that we dare might open our hands and say, be Lord of my life? We live in a country that is a rejection of the notion of a king, of some authority over us, stifling us, limiting us. All right? That's throughout our founding documents. So with that kind of a mindset, with a fierce, rugged individualism, how is it possible then for us to call Christ King? And if that's in us and in the culture, and if it's possible that it was certainly in the air and in the community to this church that Paul writes to, and not only to that specific church, can we find ourselves in solidarity with this Colossian church and hear Paul's words, receive them the way they might have received them? I mean, that's just... hear Paul celebrate and sing and try to pour out his heart as to how the freedom he's found from allowing Jesus to become the king of his life, that Christ is king, He says to them, I'll just start at verse 11. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, so that you may have all endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share the inheritance of the saints in light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. This is Jesus. I love this language about it. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. All this talk of God, this talk of the spirits and spirituality, the fullness of who God is localized in the person of Jesus Christ. What does the kingdom of God look like? It looks like the life and the death and the resurrection and the ascension and the promised return of Jesus, the firstborn of all creation who walked the earth, and we inherit eyewitness accounts of it. Accounts that are now a couple thousand years old. But when we make ourselves vulnerable to them, when we unclench our fists and open up our hands and put open our balance books, when we lay before God how we manage our affairs, the things on which we focus our attention, the ways we speak and act, when we invite God into our homes, we begin to turn over our kingdoms. We begin to say, here is the range of my effective will. And as we pray, as we will pray in a little while here, as we pray the Lord's Prayer, when we humbly and expectantly say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and in all the earth, my life, the life that you have blessed me with, may your will be done. That's a big prayer. That is a prayer not to be taken lightly. That's a prayer that requires some faith to open up to and live into. As I've just been thinking about all the things that we could say on this particular day, one of the questions is, what does that look like in our lives? If indeed Paul is on the right track, not steering us in the wrong direction, that through the Gospels we see this icon, this image of God and the kingdom of God. And if we trust that to be true and we know the story, how can we know God in such a way that it changes the way we live? That God's effective will, his kingdom is our kingdom. That's something. I mean, can you imagine what the world would be like if in all the little kingdoms of the world, the governing bodies, the corporations, the school boards, in every church and in every home, if you began every meeting in prayer, in an earnest prayer of thy will be done, if some software company, you know, AI is this big and controversial thing that's happening right now. But what if all of those software engineers and technology companies had in their mission statements, Christ is King? And so that everything we do, every product we design, every chat engine, every engineering, every bit of code that we write confesses Jesus as Lord. Any product that we manufacture, anything that we're going to put out to market, how does it square up with the life of God through the person of Jesus Christ? When I'm thinking about how to compensate employees, who to hire and who to fire, if each and every manager, senior manager, mid-level manager, or some frontline grundoon that is just trying to get the work done, if truly we opened our hands and said to God, "Your kingdom come in my life," can you imagine that? The stacks of rules and regulations, the clogged court dockets, the overcrowded prisons, every social ill, no more corporate scandals, no more pettiness. We heard a little bit about this last week in Isaiah's prophecy, where relationships that were once predatory are now communal, that we live in a way of mutual blessing, that many times in the course of the day we seek divine wisdom from this our good God. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. The king that does not take, but gives. The king that does not enslave, but frees. The king that does not censor, but brings truth. Christ the King. Christ the King. And while we may not be able to affect the decisions in boardrooms, on college campuses, the captains of industry and technology, we can start right here and right now, you and I, by opening our hands and making this little kingdom an agent of God's grace. There is tremendous, tremendous good news when Christ is King. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of presidents and prime ministers and kings, God of the forgotten and the lost, God of saints and sinners and the unnamed faithful, to you, O God, we call and we pray. We humbly ask, abide with us and forgive us. Forgive us our sins. The times when we've turned our backs and walked away or dug in our heels. When we've been impulsive or unkind or stingy or apathetic. Right now we come before you with broken spirits and contrite hearts. We come to you and we ask for your forgiveness, that you would pick us up and dust us off, settle our minds, help us to focus our attention on you again and walk in your way. It is a beautiful gift of our faith, and we claim it in this moment. And we pray, God. We pray over the people in positions of power and influence. Soften their hearts and open their minds. Make your way into the rooms where big decisions are being made. Come, O God, into the lives of the people that we pass on the street each day. The clerk at the store. The man or woman on the street corner holding the tattered cardboard sign. The children that play at the end of the block. The folks we see walking their dog down the street. Bring your peace. Show them the way. And you know us, O God. You know the joys and the concerns of our lives. Some of us write those things down, or we carry them in our hearts, and we go over them time and time again throughout the day or in the middle of the night. So sometimes the best thing we can do is just be quiet and trust you with these lists. So we take a moment to hand our prayer list to you, God, and sit still together and listen for your voice. We break our silence. And we thank you, God, for the gift of peace and quiet, the gift of this moment. And we celebrate a prayer together, a prayer that you taught your first students, a prayer that opens the door, a prayer that begins the process of us turning our kingdoms over to you. Hear us, O God, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so, reflecting on this season of days that has just come to its conclusion, looking back with full hearts and looking ahead to the season of Advent with its time of expectant and hope-filled waiting, to be reminded again of the promise of Emmanuel, of God with us in all things, our God, that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses us and bids us peace. Go in peace. Amen.